Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Beverly Imbenebel is with us once again, ladies and gentlemen, after all these years. Couldn't do without her. Beverly is the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. She has her own communications company, which is also a small business, just like mine, just like yours. And she's the author of actually a number of books, but that's my favorite, Talk Is Not Cheap. And she's here to help us learn how to communicate ourselves into financial success. Beverly Imbenebel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and happy anniversary.
Thanks, Beverly. I appreciate that very much. Thanks for being here to help us celebrate our 11th anniversary. And, of course, you've been through with us through a whole lot of years. I'll have to go back and look. I think it's... I'll have to go back and look at the years. We have those records, by the way, here, Beverly.
I have it in my head.
I know. We keep these things like we're like baseball. We got this stuff here. But, Beverly, how big a deal we all recognize now that we're in some unsettling times. I'm using that word, Beverly, because there are people out there who aren't exactly, you know, hurting all that bad. There are people out there who are doing okay. I talk to them, and they say, you know, I hate to say it, but my business is pretty good. But even if their business is great or not great, I think the word unsettling is still an emotion that runs throughout everybody right now. And so in these unsettled times, how can we communicate? How can communication help us to survive?
Now is the time to make sure you keep the communication lines open. Even if your business is doing great, do not take it for granted. You want to make sure that you are listening to your customers' needs. What they want and what they have to have are two different things. And I'm seeing in these times that the people are putting off what they want for the most part and going after what they have to have. So this is the perfect time to be asking questions, to be listening, to making sure that the service and that they value you, that remember they can go to your competitor. Now is the time to shore up those relationships, and communication is the least expensive investment that you can make in your business right now.
So now you said something a minute ago that I'm glad you did, because I've been saying it now for a long time, and that is stop listening to the talking heads on television and start listening to your customers more.
That's right.
So when you say communication, that doesn't mean you show up and start talking to them, right? That means the communication is mostly about listening, right?
Yes, it is, and I'm especially saying you want to put yourself in the role of the listener. For instance, I have a customer who is in the financial business, and about two months ago, this CEO said, Beverly, we are so satisfied with TLC, we just want you to know we're not going to renew the contract in 2009. It has nothing to do with your service. It's the uncertain financial times.
Right.
And so I started listening to what they want, what they need. I went out a couple weeks ago with one of my people who's delivering what we call real-time coaching, and I heard someone at one of the branches come up and say, Vincent, that's my senior coach's name, Vincent, I saved the bank $100,000 today, and all because I used what you taught me.
Wow.
This is the type of information, this return on investment that I'm, you know, that I'm passing on to this decision maker. It doesn't mean it will turn the no into a yes, but right now it's turned it into a maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, continue to have those conversations and keep your ears open and listen to what
So when if somebody says to you, you know, we're going to have to cut back or we're going to have to cut you out or whatever, you know, you don't have to take that as the final answer. Now, you can't take it personally.
Right.
And you have to say, well, you know, I certainly understand. I guess I can understand how, you know, how that could be the case. But let me ask you a question. Tell me what it is that's causing you to do this. Does this mean that you do you? What about our services? Could you use our services next year? And one of the things I like to do sometimes, Beverly, is I actually will say something like, "Tell you what, let's do. Let's take money off the table for now. For the moment, this really helps. I've had great success with this, Beverly. I'd say to them, let's take money off the table for a minute. If money were not an object, what would you and I be talking about right now? What would they say, Beverly?
That would be very interesting. And this particular customer would be talking about how they're seeing improvement with their customer service people.
And maybe, well, you know, I guess next March I'd probably have you speak to all my people around the globe and halfway around the galaxy or something
right.
like that. You know, some example. Well, okay, now that we've found out that the need is still there and that you actually want some stuff, let's the money's a detail. How do we solve that?
Well, it can be solved creatively. It can be solved with, one thing that I'm finding customers really, because I'm listening to them, and that's one of the things they're saying is you take the service and you divide it over a period of months so that that's an easier thing to sell into their budget than one big hunk.
Right.
So you're right. There are ways to be creative with this big issue called money. But I love that question of yours. What if money was not, you know, on the table? What would we be talking about? One of the things I love about that question is how open it is.
Yeah.
What would we be talking about? It gets your customer talking, and if they're talking and you're listening, you are communicating.
And yeah, because otherwise if you see, the beautiful part about being a small business owner is we can sell our stuff for whatever we want to sell it for.
That's
we
right.
get to make that. We get to make that decision. We can cut any kind of a deal we want to cut because we own the business. And so, if you ask that question, then it does two things. Number one, it gets your head right, because you've now have to admit to yourself, well, my preconceived notion about that this thing was going to work is that's obviously flown out the window. Right.
Right.
So it gets your attention at the same time, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
So we're going to pursue this a little bit more, folks. I think this is a kind of a thing that Beverly's helping us with here that could really be beneficial for a lot of us over the next few months, maybe even a few quarters. We're going to talk about that after these messages. Here's ZZ Top to take us out. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Beverly Inmanebo is our guest and our very good friend. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Beverly Inmanebo. Her books are Talk Is Not Cheap, Real World Communication Strategies That Work, and Success Is a Decision of the Mind. Three different books. Beverly, tell us how we can find them and how we can find you.
You can find us by calling 888-BECAUSE or TalkListen.com.
And the company is Talk, Listen, Communicate, right? TLC.
TLC, Talk, Listen, Communicate. And that's what we're doing right now.
So the idea here is we got customers who might be balking a little bit, perhaps, and we don't have any reason to think that they are, other than the fact that, we're in unsettling times. And what I think you should, and it seems to me what you should do real quick is find out if it really is just a matter of money. Because if it's not, if it's something else, you either have to fix that or you might as well just leave, right?
That's right. And if you think about small businesses right now, it really is a more level playing field for us. Because, as you're saying, they're balking, they're holding off, they're not making these rapid, quick decisions, especially now during the budget time. There's still, you know, there's a lot of room for play. And so if we invest more time in getting to understand and to know our customers, I'm not talking about talking to them. I'm talking about talking with them. And that means, you know, a heavier portion of them talking, you listening. When they get that green light to go ahead and move, the person who has invested more time in getting to know their customer mm-hmm. will be the one that will get to go.
Mm-hmm. And if you've appeared to be the one who's there, like as you were saying, if you after a while it'll sink in that you're not trying to be part of the problem, you're trying to be part of the solution.
That's right.
And so, you know, but if they say, well, you know, we just don't know, and that you say, well, let me ask you a question. The work still needs to be done, right? Yeah. You're happy with our work? Yeah. So you still need us? Yeah. Well, what if we made an adjustment on the money situation for the next 6 months, and then 6 months after that, you allow me to get that back?
That's right. So start thinking creatively. When I encourage people to listen, you don't have to do it all at once. You know, we're all geniuses 10 minutes later. And so think of contacting your customers with the sole purpose of listening to them. Listen, 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 and then say, okay, as I understand it, and then you repeat back in your own words what you think they've said. That will impress them. And then say, okay, John, thank you. Let me think about this. Let me see what I can do, and I'll call you back when I have some solutions that work for us.
How about this, though, Beverly? My old salesmanship training kicking in here. What if you said, John, I'd like to come back with a plan mm-hmm. that would be good for both of us. If I can do that, would you listen to me? Would you be willing to listen to what I have to say? You're not asking them to say, I'll take your plan. Just say, if I could come back, would you accept, because if you don't, if you leave and you're not clear about what's to be expected after you work on this thing, then they can always just not return your call, just not let you come.
That's that proverbial, I'm keeping my foot in the door. It can't completely shut. And that's so important to do, because right now, you know, most people do not want to say no to another person, but mm-hmm. their hands are tied. And especially even in these large companies, these Fortune 100 companies, they're used to being able to say yes. They're used to being able to make major decisions in a very short amount of time. Well, it's changed for them, and it makes them uncomfortable. And so, you know, if they have said no to you and you've accepted it, whew, that's one I don't have to say no to again.
Right, right.
So you want to keep that door open, and if your mind is not coming up with all the solutions right then and there on the spot, that's okay. Like you said, ask them to come back with a plan. Come back. Will you just listen to me if I find a solution? And that keeps that door open.
Well, and you know, another thing that you might even want to do is you might want to have that conversation with every customer. Not you know, if there's no problem, if they haven't, you know, they've been paying their bill and they act like they're doing okay, you still might want to go and just say, hey, how are things going? Tell me how it's going. And then you may learn, well, we're doing okay now, but we really see a problem in about 90 days. Well,
right.
Guess what? You're way ahead of the schedule now.
Yep.
You're way ahead of the curve.
In fact, I think that is essential. If you are going to establish relationships, think about your personal relationships. I bet the ones that are the best are the ones that at one time you spent a lot of time talking and listening to that person. Maybe not now, but if you want to establish a relationship with a client, what I'm saying is now is the time to
right.
contact them, to go and see them, to send them a note, to be in front of them so that you understand and they know that you understand, especially if your business has grown to where, and if it's a service business, that maybe somebody else is actually taking care of that customer,
mm-hmm.
but you were the initial contact, now is the time to go back and reestablish those relationships.
Even if a salesperson is taking care of that person, if you're the owner, you go make contact with them at some point.
That's right. Right
yeah.
now, every owner of every small business needs to be the ambassador for that business.
Exactly. Well said, Beverly. With the words and wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, from Beverly Inmanable, who, by the way, has been a member of our Brain Trust since June 30th, 1999. How about that? Beverly, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks.
Beverly Inmanable, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. Won't do without her, I promise. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
I spent a lot of money and I spent a lot of time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.